thank you for downloading this podcast from Guymyr Baptist Church. You can find out more about our church at our website, guymyrbaptist.org.au. May God speak to you as you listen.
So the Bible reading is from Matthew chapter 11,
verses 2 to 6.
When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me."
Thanks so much, Essie. What a woman, hey? On retreat all weekend, still here blessing us. And a very good evening to all of you, brothers and sisters. How you all doing? I hope you're doing really well. Just in case we haven't had the chance to meet each other yet and say hello, my name's Erin, and I look forward to that chat with bated breath. And I'm actually super pumped to be part of this series tonight. Have you been loving Jesus and the Sydney Morning Herald? It has been amazing. All power to the sisters who've gone before me. And I just really love that we have this time where we can explore, you know, current events and what's going on in our world and themes and issues that people are thinking about and just really grapple with that together and try to figure out, you know, what is a faith perspective on this? Where do I hear Jesus moving and working on this? And tonight I want to take you back in time to the Golden Globes 2 weeks ago, which the Sydney Morning Herald reported on the morning of Tuesday, the 9th of January. Now look, even if you have not been following the news very carefully at all, if anything even remotely to do with the Golden Globes came across your Facey feed or any other source that you access, even if it was that, you know, that really stereotypical, trite and quite frankly depressing kind of story, you know, the best and the worst dressed, you're like, oh, please, they're professionals. Even if it's something that small that you happen to glimpse about the Golden Globes, you've probably already realised it was a bit of a different award ceremony this year to last year, huh? And as a result, I reckon a lot more significant. There's so much that we could do with that evening and talk about that evening, but I really just want to zero in on one actor's acceptance speech and just think about some of the things that she said in it. I'm talking about our Nicole Kidman, who did us all proud and won the Golden Globe for Best Performance in a Series. Now, the series was Big Little Lies. And in her speech, she happened to talk a little bit about Celeste, who is the character that she plays in the show. And then she said this, "I do believe and hope that we can elicit change through the stories we tell and the way we tell them." I have to say, I read those words and I was just like, whew. So profound, hey. I do believe and hope we can elicit change through the stories we tell and the way that we tell them. And I have not been able to get her words out of my head since that morning. And actually, I reckon Nicole's onto something. What do you think? Yeah? Some of the sites that I follow to do with work, super nerdy, actually, classic sneaky Jesus, sent some articles through to my inbox this week about this very topic. The changes that happen to people, especially little people, and their brains when they're reading a really good, gripping narrative. And not to bore you, but I just want to talk about two studies super quick. So one of them used a whole series of MRIs to kind of try to observe the changes that might be happening in a person's brain when they were reading a narrative. And the other study did something kind of same, but different, and took like a whole series of blood samples from people at different points in the reading process, you know, before, during, after, to try to look at, you know, what are the physiological changes, what are the chemical changes going on for people. And even though both of these studies took place at different times, by different people, different sizes, all those sorts of things that the nerd in me was just frothing on, what was interesting to me is that they actually found the same thing, which is that it turns out a good narrative does change you. It actually increases empathy. Isn't that cool? So cool. I found that so fascinating, not just because I'm a geeky educator, but, you know, also because of tonight. So Nicole was onto something. A good story can really elicit change. But of course, you didn't need my nerdy research moment to know that, did you? Because if you've ever felt the power, you know, the gripping power of a good book or a really great film, you already know what I'm talking about. You've experienced that firsthand. You know, it just kind of hooks you and you can't put it down or turn it off. And it really tugs at your heartstrings and it really gets you thinking in a way that just stays with you long after you've shut the book or the credits have rolled or you've turned off the telly. Stories are really, really powerful. Now, I don't know how many of you have actually read the book Big Little Lies or watched the series. Yeah, well, for those of you who know me, you're probably going to be a bit surprised to hear that I made it through the whole of the first season. I have been blessed with a very squeamish stomach. I'm a big scaredy cat and I have overly developed tear ducts. So, this is such a true story. So anything above a G rating is a challenge for me. I'm not going to sleep for a week. But I made it through. I'm going to say there were just a lot of strategic trips to the kitchen for a glass of water and cups of tea. I did not find it entertaining. This was not entertaining TV, but I found it really valuable. It really challenged me. It really confronted me. So for those of us who haven't heard about it or seen it, obviously our Nicole is in it, along with an all-star cast. And it explores a lot of different themes and what have you, but one of the themes it explores is the cycle of abuse in relationships and intimate partner violence through Kidman's character, Celeste, and her husband in the show. Clearly not entertaining. And I was really confronted to see that exploration play out on the screen in front of me. And what really struck me was the knowledge this is not just a plot device. This is a gritty, dirty, ugly, and horrifically harmful reality for 1 in 4 people. 1 in 4 houses on your street. 1 in 4 flats in my building. Here in the Sutherland Shire, according to the statistics. That is a lot of hurting people. A lot of hurting women, a lot of hurting men, and a whole heap of hurting little ones growing up in that family. It's a really significant issue. And I really appreciated the opportunity to be confronted by it. Kidman went on to talk about it's a really important conversation and we need to keep the conversation going. And I found myself really nodding along with her. I could see, you know, having watched this series, that the writers and producers had really tried to carefully craft the way that they explored those sorts of issues to raise the awareness, to get the conversation going. And it's a really important conversation that we need to keep having because it's such a big issue. And it has been normalised and tolerated and accepted for so long. Can I get an amen? Amen. Now, I found myself really hoping, along with Nicole, that stories like that, that she could tell, would elicit lasting and permanent and profound societal change because we really, really need it. And our families really, really need it. But, of course, the success of a show like Big Little Lies is that it wasn't told in a vacuum, right? It was one story, part of a much bigger conversation, a wider movement that's been gaining momentum over the last 12 months. If you were here a couple of weeks ago, Chandra's already kind of worked through that with us. But in brief, about a year ago, this weekend, all around the globe, there was a series of women's marches raising awareness on women's issues. Then a couple of really horrific headlines later, we had the real-life stories coming out of Me Too, which we're confronting, kind of culminating in Time's Up campaign. And this weekend, a year later, some more marches. So the conversation is really, really going. I think it's an important one for us to have. And I really pray that the Lord blesses those stories. I'm excited to see where the momentum takes us. But, you know, in thinking about this message and the power of stories like the ones we see on our screens or the ones that people share of their real life experiences of these things, I thought to myself, you know, if stories can cause change, and we know that they can, and if these kinds of stories have been significant change makers for us in some extent, some way, shape or form over the last year, then how much more the story that we have to tell of our precious Jesus and his heart for this world and his work in this world. We too have a story to tell that can and does elicit profound change. Ours is a story of a beautiful, loving God who came down to meet us in unloving, dark, broken places, bringing his wholeness and his light. Ours is a story of a world that kind of runs by the principle of I give so I get, you know, quid pro quo, that met a Jesus who took the initiative to love first, serve first, save first, giving without getting so he could bring us to himself. I mean, this is a man who can literally make the blind to see and who figuratively opens our eyes from this obliviousness that it's so easy for us to get stuck in so we can finally see and respond to what's really going on. This is a man who can feed the hungry. He fed the thousands on the hillside with fish and with loaves. And he can feed the hunger inside of each and every one of us for significance and purpose and meaning and for the things in our lives to somehow matter. This is a man who cleansed the lepers and opened up a way back for them to life in community. And it's a story that we get to tell of how he's cleansed us from all of the things that alienate us from each other and from God, so that we too can have a life in life-giving relationships. Bear with me on this one. Like a bath after boot camp, the healing and the relief that Jesus brings comes to us one muscle at a time, one memory at a time, one malady at a time, until our entire being is flooded with his perfect peace. Like a really beautiful Japanese kintsukuroi vessel, where an artist takes things that are broken and mends them with precious molten gold, our Jesus can take the damaged, broken bits of us, somehow sorts them out from their hopeless jumble, and very lovingly, very patiently, very carefully crafts them back into something beautiful and usable and purposeful and functional. And like a delighted puppy who finally gets let off the leash and bursts out all over the park, our Jesus releases us from all of the things that we've been straining against. He releases us from all of the things that hold us back, like shame and fear. Our Jesus brings the end to that toxic interplay between people and powers and nations for control and to dominate and to tear down. And instead, he brings to us the way of love and the way of building others up. And our Jesus brings an end to the power of the things that have hurt you, the pain, the disappointment, the failure, and the trauma. The power of those things to set limits on who you are, who you can be, what you can do, and robs you of your potential. And he brings instead, through the Holy Spirit, unlimited potential for always. You know, this is a story that raises issues, but it resolves them. It's a story that confronts every aspect of fallen and broken humanity, but it also contains the power to mend and heal and make whole. Because this is a story that doesn't just tug at your heartstrings. It points to the one who can change your heart utterly. And this is a story that doesn't just get you thinking and put questions in your mind. It points to the one who can renew your mind so that our hearts start to feel the way that they should, with the cares and the concerns and the passions of heaven pressing on them. And our minds can start to work the way they should, considering and reasoning with the perspectives of heaven. This story that we have to tell of Jesus is a story about change from the inside out, change that alters the very fabric of who we are and how we behave, flowing into everything we do and everything that we say and everywhere that we go, bringing powerful, permanent, transformative, beautiful, wonderful change into our hearts and our homes and our schools and our workplaces so that our friendships are thriving and our families are thriving and our relationships are thriving. And one day I can see it. Our beautiful Shire is thriving and we as people are flourishing. flourishing in the abundance of his freedom and his life. There is no limit. There is no limit to the wholeness our Jesus can bring. Amen? There is no limit to the wholeness our Jesus can bring. Amen? No limits. Nothing about who you are, nothing about what you bring, nothing about where you come from can limit or deter his beautiful, relentless determination to make you whole again. What a story, hey? What a story. I just get the feeling that we could really keep gushing on that, just frothing on that all night. And by the time it was bedtime, we just would not have scratched the surface. You know what I mean? What a story. What a savior. In the passage that the delightful Esther read for us, Jesus meets these disciples who've come from John and who want to, you know, suss him out. Are you the one? What's your deal? Give us the manifesto. We need to take it back. And Jesus just says, go back and tell John what you've seen and what you've heard. That's it. No vision statement. No pie chart. No rationale. Just what have you seen? And what have you heard while you've been here? The lame are walking, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing. The lepers are back with us in community. Good news is going out. That's your story. And that was their testimony. That was their story. And it's our story too. I think in view of what, you know, Adele's been praying over with us tonight, some of the things we were talking about to do with, you know, what's going on with the Golden Globes and all that sort of stuff, I think it's fair to say that our world is going through some pretty big stuff right now, isn't it? We're thinking through some pretty serious issues. And our world so desperately, desperately needs the real change and the lasting change that can come to them in Jesus' name. Our world needs to hear our stories. It needs to hear what we've seen. It needs to hear what we've heard. It needs to hear what we've experienced of the work that Jesus is doing in us, through us, around us. But have you ever noticed how funny it is that as much as we love this story and could just talk about it, on and on and on, and how much we know that our world needs to hear it? Isn't it funny how hard it is to tell? You ever had that? I think sometimes our story, as beautiful and profound as it is, can be really challenging to tell. And so I just want to spend a bit of time now thinking about, you know, what are those challenges and how might we meet them? I think one reason why this beautiful story that we have to share is kind of hard to share is because of some of the things that we've been experiencing and how we are experiencing Jesus personally. Are there any church kids here with us tonight? I'm a church kid. Hey, what a blessing, hey, to get to grow up knowing about the Lord and to grow up amongst his people, right? Love that. So thankful. You know, one thing that made being a church kid super hard, though, was when I went from being a church kid to being a Christian. And suddenly I felt like I needed to share my story, and I didn't know what it was. Well, like, I knew what it was. But, you know, other friends of mine had these huge differences, you know, pre-Jesus, post-Jesus. Whew, whole new them. But for me, it really felt like a continuation. Little Aaron, Christian Aaron, looked on the outside pretty similar. I mean, I knew that there were really profound things happening inside of me, but I was very confused about what my story was. With hindsight now, I've been able to see the beautiful things that Jesus was doing in me in that time. And also with hindsight, I've come to value everyone's stories, not just the ones that would make really great movies. So if you're a fellow church kid in confusion, just hang in there. I'm with you. You know, another thing I think can make telling our story hard is when you've been following Jesus for, you know, a while and the changes start to slow down. Mark kind of mentioned this when he was praying with us last week. You know, in the beginning, there's a lot going on for us and we can see God's hand at work in us in these powerful, beautiful ways. And then over time, as the Holy Spirit conforms us and, you know, we start to look a bit more like Jesus in what we care about and all those good things, the change seems to become a bit more subtle. It's harder for us to see. I think telling our story can be difficult then. I think sharing this story, though, is probably the hardest when we're in hard places. You know, if we're going through something that's really tough, and I think this is most especially true for anyone praying for healing, whether it's for you or someone you just really, really love, whether it's healing of the body, healing of the mind, or healing of a relationship. If that's you tonight, my heart really goes out to you. And I really pray that we as a family can be a place where you feel loved and supported in that space, because when it comes to the blessings of the Lord, my experience of prayer for healing is that it is a slow burner. Jesus can heal in an instant, can't he? Ooh, but sometimes he chooses to heal slowly. And it can just be so hard to share this beautiful story that we have of Jesus' work in changing things, when the change that we feel him doing in us or in this person that we love just seems so slow, tiny. It's tiny little increments. Oh, it's a really hard space to share our stories in. I also think, on a lighter note, that sharing our stories can be tricky, because sometimes the opportunities to share Jesus with people don't come looking the way you think they would. Has this ever happened to you? How amazing would it be for an opportunity like the one Nicole had, hey, you know, on the podium, the introverts amongst us are like, no, oh, I can't imagine anything worse. I reckon it'd be cool, right? You're there on the podium, everyone's quiet, you've got the mic, you know, and you just get to speak for 3 minutes, you know, until the music starts playing, and you just say whatever, right? Imagine if you were a follower of Jesus in that space, just be like, let me tell you about the Lord. Only you'd be speaking faster because you only had 3 minutes. Or like if you just had that opportunity to be involved in telling these really creative stories, if you're an actor or musician, and you know, you're able to deal with these themes that go out all around the world and that everyone can watch and everyone is thinking about. Like, it'd be so cool to be part of that process. And yet, funnily enough, despite the expectations of all of my family, I have not yet won an Academy Award. And probably will never. So I'm pretty sure that my chance of having a fabulous frock, 5 minutes of fame and time on the podium is passing me by. We don't often get opportunities like that as followers of Jesus, do we? Oh, but what wouldn't I give for like one of those, you know, quintessential golden opportunities to share the gospel? Okay, in my daydreams, there's two main scenarios that play out. The first one, I'm on the train and I am remembering to read my Bible. So my day is already going really well. And the person next to me is like being a bit creepy and like looking over my shoulder. But they notice that I'm reading and they notice what I'm reading. And then they're like, hey, explain that to me. What are you reading? And I'm like, boom, gospel shared. Amazing. How cool would that be? Hasn't happened yet. Not even when I was on the way to Bible college and I had like, you know, like my actual paper Bible out. It was like super obvious. So devs. The other scenario that plays out in my mind, right, is like more of like, I think it's more likely to happen and it's actually my favourite one, right? It's like I'm catching up with a friend, probably like a long, luxurious lunch because food has to be involved. And, you know, like it's someone that you just really love and you know them really well because you've been walking with them for a while. Just praying for this person. Oh, Jesus, can you save this person? They're so amazing. And then, you know, over the hummus and the dip, you know, they say to you, as you know, you talk about this Jesus guy all the time, just like, what's that all about? And you're like, boom, gospel shed, and my friend is saved, and that's the best day of my life. How good would that be? But you know, I've been following Jesus for a really long time. None of those opportunities have come my way. If they've come your way, please come and tell me those stories, because I would just love to hear them. They would be so encouraging. But in my walk with the Lord, the opportunities come so much more unexpectedly. They're not those like golden opportunities that you might be hoping for. They tend to be these more really incidental, kind of mundane, everyday opportunities that are pretty easy to actually miss and let pass you by. And sometimes they can just be downright surprising. So this one hilarious opportunity that came my way I was following school holidays, catching up with a friend and colleague, and, you know, we're swapping stories. And, you know, she was telling me how on her holiday she'd gone to a store and she'd actually bought some beautiful crystals, a whole heap of different ones, and they all did different things. And she was really hopeful that they would bring her relief to some symptoms that she was finding really hard to live with. And I just found that fascinating. And then she said to me, you know, Ez, I really wanted to bring one back for you because I just thought you'd really appreciate it, you really, you know, be into it. But then I thought, hang on, she likes Jesus and she might be really offended. And like next minute, having an opportunity to talk about, you know, the gospel according to the Jesus who heals and through the things that he puts in the earth and what that might look like. And man, walking back to my classroom, I was like, what was that? Did not see that one coming. I thought I knew her pretty well and, you know, the things that she was really into, and just did not see that moment coming. And like, if you'd asked me about this dear friend of mine and the way I saw that opportunity going, the sorts of themes of the gospel I might be talking to her about, I wouldn't have crafted my Jesus story that way. I don't think I would have gone there at all, actually. Like, that was a bit of a surprise. And I think that's just because the opportunities that we're given to share the gospel are uniquely tailored to that beautiful individual person that you're talking to. And sometimes you never can quite tell what's on their heart, no matter how well you know them. And in the case of my dear friend, Jesus obviously just saw that as an opportunity to plant a seed. So opportunities don't come the way that we think they do. And, you know, when it comes to chances to actually verbally tell people about Jesus, I very rarely get past having one sentence moments. You know, it's just this kind of incidental topic where there's kind of a gospel theme that you can, you know, kind of talk about. And you have got the time that it takes to utter a very simple one clause, tiny sentence, no commas, no semicolons, just get in there, get out, and it's going to move on. You know, has this ever happened to you? I thought it was just me. And of course, you know, even those kinds of opportunities that are more common are very few and far between. Most of the time, the opportunities that we have to share this story are non-verbal, aren't they? It's the way that we just listen to people. Just let them talk. The way we're present with people, no matter where they're at. The way that we serve them. The way that we're there for them. The way we care for them. The causes we stand for. The things that make us really passionate and indignant, in my case. I think those are often the things that Jesus uses to tell his story. So as much as we love this story, and here in this place we just froth on it all night, when it comes to going out into this world that so desperately needs to hear it, it's actually a bit of a challenging proposition, isn't it? So what do we do with that? Well, in a moment I'm going to close this time and we're going to pray over it. Always a good place to start. One thing I think can be really encouraging, especially for those people who are finding sharing their story of Jesus hard, is to remember that the story that we have to tell isn't just personal, it's collective. It's not just what we've seen and experienced. It's what we hear others seeing and experiencing. Yeah? So we're going to take some time now for our testimony time. I'm going to take some time to just talk to the people around us and share anything that's happened for you in the last week or the last 2 weeks or whatever it is. Ways in which you've seen Jesus at work. Maybe it's in you. Maybe it's through you. Maybe it's in the world around you. And if you have a story that you'd really like to share, come on down to the front. And after we've had a time to speak to each other, we'll listen to those stories and be hopefully super encouraged and super pumped. But if you're anything like me, you're already sitting there going, this amazing thing happened, but I want to share it. Look, if right now you're feeling a bit of a squish in your tummy like that, that's probably Jesus telling you that he wants you to share that story. So come on down. We'd love to hear from you.